This is a Pinball News production.
First of all, I'd like to thank Rob coming up to me and asking me to do another seminar here at Expo this year. Saw him at Replay Effects in Pittsburgh. It's a great event down there, but it's always great to be here at Pinball Expo. It's kind of like a family reunion when you come here. I've been coming to this show since 1990, and that's a very long time. I was 14 years old the first time I attended Pinball Expo, and I only missed 1 year in all that time. So I've been 26 years. I've been coming here, 26 times out of the 27 years. My dad brought me the first years, 90 through 94. We came. It was at the old Ramada. Anybody here remember the old Ramada? I'm sure you guys remember. Yeah, it was great times over there. But, you know, those years at the early expos, the first thing I guess I'll talk about is coming across my first game at a pinball expo. When I started into the hobby of pinball, I really got into video games first. So, like I said, you guys may have heard this story. One of my seminars before, I talked about my uncle. He was co-owner of a roller rink down in Jackson, Kentucky, where I'm from. And this was back in the early 80s, around 81, 82. And the only pinball machines they had in there at the time was a Black Knight and a Gottlieb Sinbad. So at the time, you know, I was just a kid. You know, I didn't really play pinball machines, but I really liked video games. So I got into the video game hobby early. And over the years of playing the video games and pinball, I would go to the mall and I would play at these Aladdin's Castles they used to have at the mall close to my area. And I happened to see a banner, a poster that was in Aladdin's Castle, and it said Pinball Expo, Chicago. So whoever was, this was way before the internet days. You know, this is back in 89, 90. So somebody, you know, had put this poster up explaining about how there's a Pinball Expo here. So we decided to come here. So I was 14 years old. I had two machines at the time, which was Gottlieb Alien Star was my first machine, got as a Christmas present in 1988. And the other machine I found was a Skyline that I found, a Gottlieb Skyline, in a garage sale for $100 in my area. And at the time, my dad was like, why do you like these old EM machines? I mean, I have this new Alien Star. It was 4 years old at the time. I mean, ended up getting the game, I believe, for $400 in 1988, which you don't find a game nowadays 4 years old for the price you could get the games for back then. But anyway, it was a different time. So we come to Expo. It was, I got to meet so many people that I still see here today. And once you come to Pinball Expo, you're kind of hooked in. It like I said, it was such a neat time. And back then, at the first Pinball Expo years, it wasn't the same time. It would fluctuate between October, November. I remember it snowing. Was it as late as what? November 18th, I think.
It was once the week before Thanksgiving, and
right.
One time it was the week after Labor Day. That's
okay. There you go. So I remember coming in one time at the Ramada, people bringing games in the back, and the snow coming down. I mean, really cold. Like, you know, not cold like now. I mean, like cold. So at those early expos, one of the interesting stories was that brings me to the first game that I purchased at Pinball Expo. It was in 1991, the second year. So my dad and I are going, if you guys remember, they used to have the U.S. Amusement Auction. The auctions were great. I mean, they did this auction the last day of Expo. And the auction would be, I have video of it. I have a video of it from 1994 is the only year that I have a video from the auction. And as you guys notice in this cool slideshow I set up, by the way, these are all games from my collection that I've had and sold over the years. Some games I still have, some I don't. But I try to pick out some really cool pictures to have as a background so you guys enjoy the cool slideshow as I tell these stories and stuff. So, okay, it was in 1991. The U.S. Amusement Auction, my dad and I were looking for another game to add to the collection. So they told us, wait till the auction, you know. So when they do these auctions, The guys that would come up there, if you remember, they'd stand on the top of the machines, but they would stand like right on the rail so they didn't stand on the glass. And they would move from game to game in like 10 seconds. I mean, the games would sell like that. So, you know, I was excited because I saw some games I liked. So the thing we were looking for was the cheapest game that we could get working at the auction. And if you guys remember, they would have a game up there. The ball would be sitting in the trough, you know, shooter lane. And they would get up there and they'd go, you know, they plunge the ball. The game was lit up. The displays may not even have been on the game. And they'd be working all the way. You know, here we go, working all the way. And the game would sell. Like I said, it was like they'd move from game to game. It was crazy. It was like a circus in there, you know. So that year we bought a Bally Kiss. The reason that we got a Kiss was because Kiss and Williams Phoenix were the cheapest games that sold in auction in 1991. We got the working Kiss for $265. I believe out the door you had to pay the 10 or 15% buyer's premium, whatever. So, you know, Phoenix was pretty cheap that year, too. Now, these were nice games. I mean, not restored nice, but Kiss was only 12 years old at the time. So, you know, it was a pretty, pretty nice game, you know. So a few years later of going around and finding some games, which later I'm going to tell you guys some really funny stories about finding games. But this brings me to Pinball Expo 94. This was the last year that my dad and I came to Expo. After that, I missed 95. And then my mom and I came the next 2 years. I think we flew here. And then after that, I started coming in a lot on my own. You know, I was old enough to drive and all that, coming here and all that. But in 1994, we got a U-Haul. Because we would do these warehouse raids where you'd find these really cool games, you know, for cheap, you know. And we had a small U-Haul. It was about like an 8x12 or 8x whatever, you know. We had brought a Ms. Pac-Man video game, a Tank 2 video game. We brought a Hollywood Heat, not very old, about 8 years old at the time, a Bally Supersonic, and a Gottlieb, Game Plan Sharpshooter. So the Supersonic worked, but it had some plug issues like they all did. You know, nobody made replacement boards or anything at the time. I mean, again, you know, you put it in the auction, working all the way, pull the plunger back, ready to go, you know. So the exciting part about this was I was hoping to get, you know, maybe $200 for my Supersonic, you know, a little bit more. The games would go a little over, under. But I do remember the prices that I sold those games for because, again, I've got this on videotape. And I have a lot of videos on my channel, on my YouTube channel. And these videos I'm hoping to get on there soon. I have a converter to DVD and all that stuff. So the Hollywood Heat working nice shape went for $280, just shy of $300. The Supersonic went for $90. The Sharpshooter went for $65. The Ms. Pac-Man, $80. And I can't remember Tank 2. It might have been even less. I mean, I know this is interesting because in that part of the segment of the auction, my games were sitting right next to a Williams 7-Up, which is like the Adderall to Set-Up or one of the 7-Up, you know. And those games, again, they'd start them. If you remember that, who's got a quarter? They meant like $25. I mean, it's like they'd start them like $50, $70. They went cheap, you know. So I was, you know, right now, you know, you look at my age, I'm 40 years old. And I'm looked at, you know, I'm kind of in the middle here. You know, I started before the internet, eBay prices and stuff were going on. So, you know, I'm still kind of looked at here sometimes at Expo as like a young, you know, a younger guy, younger kid. I don't know a lot about these games, but I was there and I saw the Bally Playfields for $10 that used to sell at Expo. I saw the back glasses. I remember in 94, that was when Alvin G and Company had just closed down and you're seeing, you know, Al's Garage Band. I know Mike had those back glasses for $10 and Playfields for $10. The games were like, what, $500 or $600? I mean, they closed the factory down. It was just dirt cheap games. I mean, that's what it was like back then, you know? So that brings me, let's see, to the next part of my story here after, let's see. I'm going to talk about underrated games. So first of all, is there anybody here that's like new to the hobby? And pinball, I mean, anybody here looking for games or haven't had any games yet, looking to add to your collection? Okay, Pinball Expo is a great place. There's a lot of great games in the free play area back there in the back where you can buy games. Over the years, I've noticed from the collection of games that I go for more old Gottlieb games. I love the old, I like the underrated games. I think it was the Alien Star, which was my first game. And at the time, the story about that, when my dad picked that up, it was from a company in Lexington, Kentucky. It was called CVS Vending. Taxi, some of the new Williams games were coming out. So these games were, they just wanted to close out, you know, to get rid of these old games. They had multi-ball, but there's no ramps and stuff. These games looked old. So anyway, when we got those games, that was the reason he picked that game. He didn't pick Gorgar. He didn't pick a game that depicted something that looked sexual or demons or Alien Stars is kind of a generic game. But it happened to be a sample game. And it was a prototype game. So even at a young age, you know, I started to get into all these. I liked looking at all these, production run numbers. You know, why did they make 10 crawls? Why did they make, whatever, some of these games you can't ever find. You know, why do they make EM version of a solid state with whole different artwork and a different color scheme, I don't know. It just intrigued me as a kid, So the games that I talk about, not to get off subject with underrated games, the underrated games, in my opinion, if you're looking for a dot matrix machine, a newer machine, I've had a lot of luck over the years with, like, Sega games, for example. I think Sega games, GoldenEye, for example, is probably the best game for the money. If you get a GoldenEye, it's got the satellite dish, it captures the balls, you get multi-ball, you've got six players. I don't think games today do six players. I think they stopped that after, for a while. So, I had this, GoldenEye sitting next to my Simpsons party and Lord of the Rings, and I'm thinking, these GoldenEyes you can pick up for $1,500 to $1,800. This is a good game. I mean, this is a nice game, If you can find one good shape working that's not been routed and just, really bad condition. So I would say Sega games, Baywatch is another great game. I've had a couple Baywatch games over the years. Artwork's a little cheesy here and there, but that's a great game. Great rules, a lot going on. Gottlieb games, oh gosh, John Norris, in my opinion, the best designer, the rules on John Norris games are just phenomenal. You look at Surf and Safari, you look at some of the games that he designed, Cue Ball Wizard, great games. And I believe with John Norris games, those are really underrated games. Surf and Safari is probably the most underrated Gottlieb game. It's not dot matrix. You can pick those up still, I believe, fairly cheap. But now the prices on these games are kind of all over the place. So I'm not fully, I used to know exactly what games are worth. Now I really don't. But I believe you can pick up a lot of Gottlieb games at a good price and those in that era. If you're looking for EM games, most people want games that they had high production numbers on. So, you're looking at Williams, Grand Prix, Space Missions, Aztecs, great games, but, they made 10,000 plus of a lot of these games. And just because they're a high number doesn't necessarily mean that they're great games. All that. I mean, they are good games, but there's a lot of other good games out there that don't get a lot of recognition. In fact, I just saw Big Ben up on there. I've had a few of those Big Ben machines over the years, and I think Big Ben is a great game. 75 Williams, Triple Action, Darling, Jubilee, those games. I mean, yeah, they're bonus-based. A lot of them are, some of the games from that era, but they're fun to play. And you can pick up games like that for, $400 or $500 and really enjoy them, If you go through them, get them working good. You don't have to buy a Restored Wizard or you don't have to buy Fireball, They're great games, but I mean, they're high-end. This stuff is really high-end out there, some of these games, So it is what it is with those games. Any games out there that you guys like? Any underrated games that you guys happen to have?
An underrated game, the Gottlieb Outer Space.
Yeah.
I thought I didn't like it until, last year someone said, play it, try it. And he pointed out some features on it, and I came away thinking, that's a real good game.
Outer Space, that's a good game you brought up because, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Outer Space the same game?
Orbit.
Super Orbit,
no,
right?
Orbit.
Or Orbit.
Both.
And then they made Super Orbit 83, it's got the neat layout, and that's a good example game. I saw Tom Taylor out here. It's got a Blue Chip. That's a great game. Blue Chip, that's another great game. In fact, my good friend out here, Jay Schneider's got a Blue Chip. Blue Chip's a game that was not highly produced. Was that the first game to use six-digit displays where they went up to almost a million scoring or 999,000? I believe it's one of those first, but early game to use that. And, yeah, Blue Chip's another great example. That's a cool game. That's a really good game. Anybody else?
Fireball Classic.
Fireball Classic. Wow. Again, great game. The interesting thing about Fireball Classic, and this is some of the little notes that, as Rob was saying, over the years I try to keep track of these things, and I get this from Sam Harvey, which I don't know if Sam's in here or not, but Sam has been, over the years I talked to Sam, and he's probably the biggest historian. He'll tell you things that the books won't even say. He keeps track of all these serial numbers on games and all that. But Fireball Classic was the last Bally game, Bally Midway, which has the sticker on the door, to use the diamond, I don't know what it's called on the door, the diamond sticker door in 85. And the first game to use it, which was Fireball, or actually El Toro, might have been the same year, like 72. So the original Fireball to Fireball Classic from that time, from 72 to 75, or 72 to 85, was the games to use that, the metal coin door with the diamond kind of design sticker on the front, which was really, that's pretty cool. And that's a good game, because it's very similar to the original game, but you do have a bonus multiplier on the captive ball, and again, I've owned a couple of those. Those are cool games. And anybody else have a game they'd like to share?
My neighbor was throwing a game into the trash, literally. Asked me if I wanted to try to rescue it. It was a William Zigzag.
Yeah, it was, I've never heard of it before. Yeah, the Zigzag, is that the game that has the balls in the back, like top score Gottlieb? Okay, there was a game in Berea, Kentucky. It was at an antique mall. They had a Zigzag, and this is back in the day, and it was actually pretty high. This was back probably, well in the 90s, and they had a really nice Zigzag. They wanted $600 for it, and at the time, that was like $4,000. I mean, it was like you did not pay $600 for an EM, you know, especially in the late 90s. But it was a nice game. It was very clean. I played it. I really enjoyed it. That's a cool game. That was reverse wedgehead Williams games, I believe, yeah. Oh, yeah, really interesting stuff. So this brings me to the second part of my seminar. If you guys noticed on the sign, it was how do you find those rare games? Rob Burke comes up to me again this year, at least twice, right? And I brought a Poseidon. If you guys happen to see it in the other room, there's a really cool Gottlieb Poseidon. It's got the fake digital score reels on it, which they came out with at the time. An attempt to try to be, you know, a solid state. It's an unusual game, you know. It's got a really crowded play field, but it's kind of unusual and it's kind of fun to play. So he comes up to me, first thing I say, hey, Robbie, I brought this game. Where do you find these things? The first thing I ask, where do you come across these? Where do you find these things? I'm like, I'm going to talk about that. A lot of times I find games on accident. I love this story. I'm sure, again, I'm going to ask you guys some questions. I'm sure you found them the same way. Most, if not all, but I would say 85% of the games I find are on accident. And one of the stories, I've got a few really, really good stories here. So this is one of the stories I want to bring up real quick about a friend of mine. He lives up in Kansas. He lives up near Topeka, Baser, Kansas, up there near the Speedway. A friend of mine, Don Brownback, he's a really good pinball player. He's not really been competing as much lately, but he's a good pinball player I met over the years. So whenever I'm traveling through up there in Kansas City area, I'll call up Don and I'll go over there and maybe stay at, you know, see if I, hey, can I come over there, you know. Yeah, great. I'll come over there and see him, see what's going on. So every time I'm driving, I drive a town and country van, and I've been known to get like five machines in my, I can get a lot of games in my minivan. It's over the years, I have these ways that I measure the games, I measure the van, and like how many games can I fit in this game, in this van, you know. So anyway, I'm over in Kansas and I'm on Craigslist, and on Craigslist I'm looking and I go, okay, see what I can find. So I'm looking. Oh, wow. Here's a Pyramid machine. Okay. If you guys know, Pyramid is a two player version of Cleopatra. I've had a few of them over the years. In fact, one of the sample games it's over at Tom Taylor's collection now. Amazing collection, by the way. Tom Taylor's collection of games is, I've been to the Pinball Hall of Fame, I've been to a lot of collections, but every single Gottlieb Wedgehead, it's just, I mean, so nice to have a collection like that he has. That's just amazing. But anyway, I had a sample, that was a sample game. I believe that was number two or three off the line Pyramid game. But this game here was just another Pyramid. It wasn't that particular game. But I happened to see it on Craigslist pop up, and you know, it wasn't that bad. I think they wanted like $400 for it. This has probably been about 10, 12 years ago. I think mid 2000, maybe about 2004 or 5. So immediately, you know, I'm trying to contact the people about this pyramid game. So, okay. I call the guy up, we're talking for like 15, 20 minutes, and he basically said, yeah, you know, the pyramid, does it work? Okay, yeah, it works. Everything's good. Okay, great. So before I end this 15 or 20 minute conversation about this pyramid game that I'm going to go pick up within a few hours or whenever, I'm about an hour away. I think the game was in Topeka, Kansas. We're about an hour, hour and a half away. I said, well, do you have anything else? Okay. This is interesting. He had a KISS machine. He had a Bally KISS. He goes, yeah, we've got a couple more games, but they don't work. And, oh, yeah, well, what do you have? Well, I've got a KISS game, but it's missing a back glass. Okay. Now, this is not back in the early 90s. I mean, this is well when you know you can get probably reproduction back glasses. But the guy, you know, he didn't know. He didn't know what he had. He didn't, you know. Oh, wow, you've got a KISS machine, right? Okay. It doesn't work, missing a back glass or whatever, hasn't been played in a long time. Well, what do you want for that? And he's like, I'd take $200 for the KISS game. So the point being is I found this KISS totally by accident. And he had another cool game too. And I thought to myself, which is kind of a secret that I'm telling you guys, but it's not really a secret. Anybody can do this. If you go on Craigslist and you're looking and you find, I don't really want another System 1 Gottlieb for sale, or I don't want another whatever game, who knows what else these people have out there? A lot of people have one machine, may have two, may have three, and may have a garage full of games, you know? I found this too. Now, you would think, knowing this, I'd be checking every day in the tri-state area, calling every ad, like, what else do you have? You know, I could do that. Anybody could do that. But this is one example where I found a KISS, missing the back glass, $200. So I ended up getting the Pyramid of the KISS and another game. Now it's bad that I can't remember what it was. It's not a great game like that. But that was, you know, really cool. I really like the Pyramid, and I've always enjoyed the Gottlieb System 1 EM versions of those games. So I got the KISS. I sold it here at Expo the following year. I had a back glass put on. I think it went for like $1,700 or so. It wasn't real high, but it was a working, nice KISS game, and it was, you know, I made a good profit on it. So it worked well, you know. So other stories like that about finding rare games. This brings me to the time that I was looking to find an Asteroid Annie. You guys know what Asteroid Annie is? That's the only single-player Gottlieb System 1. It was made in December of 80, well into the System 80 era. Now, this is back a long time ago. This is, when I say long time, it's probably 12 years ago again, you know? So they were still out there. You can still find them. I'm looking at Craigslist all the time. I'm just looking. I finally come across an Asteroid Annie for sale. I'm like, wow, you know? And I don't think it was. I think it was like through a news group or through something anyway. So it was out in Iowa. And it was kind of an Amish country of Iowa. When I went out there to drive way, it was way off the interstate, way off the beaten path. And I'm out in Iowa, and I'm looking to find this Asteroid Annie. I'm so excited. I get over to the guy's place. This is another thing, story, where I find games on accident. So when I come across this Asteroid Annie, it's the only game sitting where it is. It was in his house. He had his kitchen and his living room. His game was sitting like in a sunroom, I guess you could call it, or not exactly outside, but it was kind of in an area. Well, you know, all the plugs on the connectors were just shot. I mean, it needed to be repinned completely. The playfield hadn't been shopped in years. The rubber rings were dry rotted off, and there was a few problems with it. Obviously, it didn't work. I mean, the connectors wouldn't even stay into half the boards. So when I get there, the guy's asking like $900 for the Asteroid Annie. This is, again, all the game. I'm just going prepared to buy Asteroid Annie. I actually had a friend with me at the time, and we didn't expect to buy any more games. I mean, that's all I asked the guy about. To Asteroid Annie, that's it. So drove a long way to get there. We're looking at the game, and I'm thinking, well, $900, I know it's rare. He kind of knew what it was. But I said, well, the back glass has some flaking on it. And, well, you know, I've got a, well, he said, no, I've got an NOS glass. I've got another, he didn't say NOS. He said, I've got another glass sitting in the house. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. Everybody has an extra perfect glass for the Asteroid Annie sitting in the house. That's right, you know. So he goes and he has this other glass. It's not perfect, but it's about an 8 or 9 out of 10, which I still have that glass, and that's probably, you know, I'd say that glass is pretty collectible now because I don't think they make any repros of it, or you just can't find that glass. But He threw in the extra glass, and then he said, well, I've got some other games out back. He's got like a little barn out there. Oh, really? You got some more games? Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure enough, not making it up, the games that he had, I wrote them down here so I wouldn't forget. He had a Buccaneer, Gottlieb, Atlantis, Gottlieb, had an Eye of the Tiger, and he had a Flying Carpet. And he also had a Fireball Home Model game. So I've already picked up the Astrid Annie, which I came for, and he's like, well, you know, just make me a package deal. These games were not set up. They weren't. I don't know if they were working or not. Didn't know what you were getting, but I'm thinking, wow, I mean, these games are nice. Now I wish I had that Atlantis back. A lot of these games I sold over the years on eBay. I used to sell a lot on eBay back in the day, but you know, totally accident. I mean, this is so cool to come across all these games, you know? So anyway, I ended up packing all five games in my van. I had to put games, I mean, it was very carefully done, and I was able to get them all in there. It was kind of crazy. You could imagine it weighed down pretty. At the time, I wasn't even driving the van I'm in now. It was a shorter. It's like a Dodge Caravan. It wasn't even the extended van. It was a shorter van. So anyway, I had all these games in there. So basically, that's one of the things I was going to talk about when I said, how do you find these rare games? I think they're on totally, a lot of the games I found on accident. Now, there's more stories, but those were the two of the best totally accident stories of finding some really cool games that I stumbled across by just contacting a guy on one game. Another quick story, I won't go into long detail, but a guy had a Solar Ride for sale, and I didn't really want a Solar Ride. This was not an EM, it was just the solid state, and it was like $400 or $500. And I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of bored. I'll just go out and pick it up, meet somebody, you know, maybe sell the game, break even on it, be all good. So anyway, I ended up getting the Solar Ride machine, and he had a Ready Aim Fire, which you can play in the other room. Test game from Gottlieb. They made 390 of them. Extremely rare game. You never see it. The game's sitting in there. Didn't even know he had it. You know, it's in his garage. I'm like, what's this? He's like, oh, that game's not very fun. You know, it's no good. You don't want that game. And it is kind of, it's a game that's kind of been another one of the underrated games, I believe I would say. It's a very unusual game, and a lot of people never gave that game a lot of credit, but it's actually a fun game. If you play one working good, which I advise you all to play the game in the hall, and it's in the free play area. It's Ready Aim Fire in the back corner. It's a very fun game. It's a good game. I have a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, I really enjoy that game. So anyway, that was a total accident find. Found it that way. So it makes you wonder, if somebody were to just, you know, call a lot of people out there, what else do you have? I mean, that would be the question. Do you have any other games? Do you know any other games? I'd say you could probably come across a lot of cool games that nobody knows, you know, again, what they have, if they have something rare or whatever. So that's kind of cool. So you guys out there, a lot of people have probably found games. Do you guys look for games like this same way on Craigslist? I mean, do you guys ever go out and just search for games? Or you all, you know, a lot of people do, some people don't. I don't do it as much as I used to. I used to really be into it. I mean, and I still look all the time. I mean, I've been looking while I'm up here all over Craigslist every day because you never know what you're going to come across, you know? So that's one of the little things I was going to talk about, Craigslist vultures. Okay, there's a lot of people out there on Craigslist. In every small town or city you're in, there's people that do the same thing we're talking about. They search all the time. You've got to find the game first. Are you going to beat them to the punch? You know, you're going to find this game. So, you know, do you search under pinball? Do you search under pin space ball? And not space meaning just do a space between pin and ball. A whole different, you know, search criteria will come up. You'll find totally different games on pin space ball than pin ball. I don't know why. People think it's two words when they put the title in and whatever. It's interesting. So my friend Jay here and I, we come across, this is a funny story. He reminded me, you got to tell this story again about finding a game show. It's a Bally game show. I'm looking at Craigslist same way. A game show pops up. I believe they're asking $100 for it. We end up getting the game for $75, but that's because, well, the rest of the story I'll get to. So the game's on Craigslist. I'm looking, I'm excited. Hey, Bally game show, you know, it's cool. So that game's not my favorite game, but it's cool. And I'll go find this game show. And when I get over there to find this game, we go in this guy's basement. It had only been listed probably less than an hour when we got there. So you can imagine his phone is just going nuts. I mean, the guy's like getting mad. He's, why does the phone keep ringing? You know, the guy's here picking it up. You know, people are offering more money for it at the time, whatever they wanted it. You know, it's one of those lucky games I came across pretty good price. So The bad part was you have to prepare for the worst. You guys know this. If you guys are new to looking for these games on Craigslist, when you get there, most of the time, the game's locked up. There's no keys. You're going to have to drill the locks out. Especially in a game like that, you got to lower the headboard down. You got to get it out of the house. It's hard to get them out of the basement. So we're down there, and you don't have any keys for it. We got to lower this headboard down. You know, you can't even get it up the stairs. So I brought my drill, so we're trying to drill this lock out. And this game's got a mirror back glass, and the glass is perfect on the game. I'm like, I don't want to break this glass. So I got this drill. We're going up in there, and the phone's ringing. The whole every time we're doing this, I'm not kidding you, it's like the phone is ringing off the hook, you know? And, like, getting that drill in there, you know, and the glass, it's just shaking. I'm like, don't break. I got to get this. We're in a hurry to get this game out of here. You know, we want to move the game. So we end up getting the glass. Don't break the glass. We get the drill locked out, got the glass out, unlock, you know, take the thing down. We're going up the stairs. As we start going up the stairs, you realize you can't get it up the stairs because the handrail's in the way and the stairs is only, like, you know, this wide or something. And we get all the way to the top of the stairs, and now we have no room to move, and we're on this dolly, and it's like you got to take the door off the hinges. So it was another. It was a good story about getting this game, but it was like and the phone's ringing the whole entire time. It was just crazy, and so that was just great, you know. So I get the game back and shop it out and play, you know. But a lot of those games are kind of that was a different time, you know. I mean, back in those days, you could find games pretty cheap. You could go on there. Now a lot of time now people know what games are worth, or they keep upping the price on a lot of games. And I'm really actually myself, I'm kind of confused by this, by the game prices nowadays. Because if you guys have seen the game, there's a Gottlieb Spirit in the room in there. Actually on the same row that my Ready Aim Fire game is on. And it's a beautiful Gottlieb Spirit. I mean, it's been restored. It's a beautiful game. I mean, immaculate, nice game. And I know back in the day, you know, Spirit is worth... Honestly, I would have thought 3,000 to 4,000 would have been, you know, in my mind, kind of high on that game. You know, I remember when I could have bought Rockies two times for $800, Rocky, Gottlieb, Qbert's Quest for $1,200, $1,250. You know, I didn't buy some of those games. I passed on them. But, you know, nowadays, these prices have kind of just gone crazy on a lot of the collector market's going up. Some of the prices of the new, I mean, that Batman 66 looks amazing, but, you know, that one, well, that limited edition, what is it, like $14,000, $15,000? It's a lot of money, you know? So I asked the guy that had the Gottlieb Spirit, you know, I said, hey, man, you could probably sell that for $3,000 or $4,000. He said, I've got to offer it $12,500 on it. And even me, you know, like, I've had a lot of games. I've sold, you know, hundreds of games. I mean, a lot of games over the years. I've some of them didn't make much on. You buy these games for $50, $100. You find them here and there, but whatever. But that just kind of set a new register. $12,500 you turn down for a Gottlieb Spirit? You turn that down? You know, I mean, I'm confused by that. You know, Rocky, $5,000, $7,000 for a Gottlieb Rocky? Are you serious? $7,000, you know? And those games are out there. They made, what, 1,200 of those games? You know, I mean, like the Ready Aim Fire that I have in there, they made 390 of that game. You know, good luck finding that. They made less than 400. Most of them were shipped, you know. You just don't see it, you know. So that's where I'm confused on what to price it at. You know, I've said, I don't know, I think the game's worth 1,500, 1,700. It's got an NOS glass. It's nice. Is it worth $3,000 or $4,000? Is it worth $10,000? Is it worth $12,000? $14,000? I don't know. These prices nowadays, I really don't know. I mean, everything is kind of up in the air. So it kind of takes, I don't want to say the fun out of the hobby, but it does change a lot of the way people look at games and where you go find games and stuff. So, you know, basically that just changes a lot. Like I said, it changes the hobby and also makes these games, sometimes if you go out there and find them, you might have a game that's worth a lot of money and you just don't enjoy playing them. You might put them up and go, well, you know, it's sort of like if you were, you know, collecting guitars, you know, you'd have that guitar and it'd be in a glass case on the wall. You just don't play that guitar, you know. That's something that we don't touch. You just put it up. But I'm glad for Mark bringing the Gottlieb Spirit. He has it in the room. Anybody can play it. Free play on all week, all 24 hours a day. It's on. It's great. You know, I applaud him for bringing that. And I try to bring cool, rare games the same way. I think people should play these games and instead of just storing them and collecting them. I think it's great, you know. So basically, that brings me down to some questions and stuff. I'd like, does anybody have any questions about other games I'd love to answer or about any of the rare games or games that you may, you know, if you have any little stories about games you've come across over the years that you'd like to share stuff with us too on that, you feel free to let me know anything or like that. Okay.
It was you that a couple years ago brought the Close Encounters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about getting that game. Do you still have it?
Yes. I don't have that exact example of Close Encounters, but the Close Encounters EM that I have now is really unique. I don't have any pictures of it on the slideshow, but I have a prototype Close Encounters. It's got different stencil artwork, and it doesn't have a serial number on it. And on the back glass, where all the every time you see a Close Encounters EM, it's got like a triangle shape of blue, like a blue triangle shape on the bottom of the headboard that's stenciled on. This one has a blue and yellow stripe that's just like Surfer or Surf Champ, you know, would be. And again, everything inside is handwritten inside the game. It's very unusual. Again, it's not a whitewood, but it was before they went into, I guess, full production. I believe there's a picture of the press photo is like that of that game. So they probably made about 10 examples like that or whatever. Then they produced the 300 or 470 of the regular EMs that they made. And, you know, but that I do have that game, and that's a great game. In fact, on my YouTube channel, if you guys look on there, just type in my name and see I did a review on Close Encounters EM, and I talk about the differences in the EM and the solid state. Besides the multiplier going up to 5x, where it only goes to 3x on the EM, the wheel, the big wheel in the back where the stars, where you get the multiplier, there's only two stars on the wheel versus the solid state. About every time the wheel spins, there'll be a star somewhere on those three positions. So it's very hard to get the 2 and 3X bonus. And I believe the EM in that way is a better game. You know, I mean, it's the same playfield design, but I think the rules are better on the EM. So that's kind of a cool story about that game.
I'll nominate another underrated game for 1960s Gottlieb single players. You always hear a lot about Buckaroo and Kings and Queens sing-along, but I'm very happy with my Ice Review Ice Show. Mm-hmm. A lot of targets you can hit straight from the flippers, a nice shootable design, and you don't hear people talk about it anywhere near as much as those other titles.
That's a good thing you bring up about that. What that reminds me of is Ice Show, the game that has the three outlanes on the side, or Ice Review. Ice Review is the replay. Is Ice Show the Attaball?
Ice Review is the replay.
Yeah.
So they made a few replays with the three outlanes.
Oh, they did? Yeah. Okay. But the one you have, does it have the three outlanes on the side?
The Ice Show, which has the three outlanes
okay.
on the side. And the whole scoring is different than Ice Review.
Right. You brought up Ice Show or Ice Review, Gottlieb. That's an interesting one because I won a couple pictures you may have seen in the slideshow as it went through was of Egghead. There's a Gottlieb. It was a close-up of the genius. They misspell it on there at work, and then the girl there with the tic-tac-toe. I won the game in 2000. It's Pinball Expo 2000 was the last year that Rob would usually they have about three games, if you remember. You'd bring about three EMs. And I won one of the Eggheads. I still have the game. It's really cool. It was in 2000. That was the year before I finished second place, and it was an Ice Review he had. That was in 99. And then there was Spanish Eyes. He would have like a 60s game and a 70s game. Spanish Eyes was notorious of being in there for a few years. You remember that? But I remember trying to get – I was second place on Ice Show. In fact, I went to eat at the Pine Grove restaurant. There's a great restaurant right next to the Ramada, and I remember what, you know, you couldn't look online and see your score if it was beat like you can today. But I went back over there, and somebody knocked me out, took second place, and I almost won the Ice Show, or Ice Review at the time. But that's a great game, too. I mean, a good example. I mean, North Star, Buckaroo, I've got a Skyline, King of Diamonds. Some of those games are probably double the value of others, and they're all pretty good. If you get a good EM like of that era, working good, chopped well, and playing good.
Single player, specifically.
Yeah, single players, yeah, like you mentioned, because it's a game feature instead of a ball feature. Yeah, they're really cool games, you know. That's really cool. Oh, we have another question here. Okay. My good friend Dave out here, Dave Wallace, is here. I'm glad he made it to Expo this year. part of the Craigslist find. I'm looking on Craigslist. This goes back to the Craigslist story. Dave lives out in Carmel, Indiana, north of northern suburb of Indianapolis. So I'm on there, and I'm on Craigslist. I'm looking in his area, and if I find something cool, I'll let Dave know, you know. Well, I come across a Nipit. There's a Nipit game on Craigslist. You know, Nipit's a pretty high production game. You know, Nipits, you know, no big deal. I mean, they're cool games, though, you know. So the guy's asking, I think, $1,000 for it. I mean, it's not real cheap. It's not. It's kind of in a good price. I immediately, when I see it, I contact Dave. I say, Dave, this is in your area. Go check out this Nipit game. So I don't hear back for a little while, and he said, well, I've already contacted the guy. I'm going to look at it. And I'm sure I'll mess some of the story up, but I'll try to get the best I can. So he goes over to the Nipit, and he looks it over. And Dave's got a really nice collection, some really nice games. So he's kind of particular on the games. He's looking it over, and he's like, man, this is a nice game. You know, it's really nice, you know. I'm like, well, great. I'm glad I was able to contact you, you know, to let you find this Nipit game. So when he goes, he starts telling me as he gets home, you know, he's going to shop the game out. It obviously was pretty dirty play field here and there. So he starts to notice that the cabinet is just immaculate. I mean, it's just perfect, you know. It's really nice. I'm like, well, that's, you know, you might get lucky and find those occasionally, you know. So he talks to the guy that he bought the game from. He worked for, was it RCA? And he sold, is it widgets to Bally? Or he sold these, well, Bally was buying some parts from him. So he ends up going to Bally back in the 70s. When the game was made, and he told them he was interested in a machine. The story behind this was that he ended up being able to get a machine, so this machine has no serial number stamped on it. So the story was, you know, when Bally would say, we made 3,000 or 4,000 of this game, Brian Saunders told me this story about how a lot of them won't have a serial number stamped. And Bally, by the way, they start their serial numbers at 1,000. So if anybody sees, you know, you go out there and you see I had an odds and evens that was number 1,023. That's number 23 off the line. That's pretty cool, you know. So Bally always started their run on 1,000 on the EMs. The Gottliebs, they had a carryover thing. It was really hard to know what number you had, besides the samples that may have started at 1,000 or something. But anyway, he had this game, really nice condition. So I found out it was a homies-only game. The guy bought it from Bally. He brought it back, and inside the head, he's telling me, why does it say space-time inside the head? Now, the head's painted from the factory. I mean, this is not somebody did this. This guy's had this game. It's a true game. He's had for, you know, years and years and years. Inside the headboard is white instead of blue, like the Nipit color blue. It says space-time in it. Well, space-time was the game they made right before they made Nipit. So what we think is, obviously, everything's written in there with, what's that pencil called? Grease pencil, everything's written in it, handwritten inside the whole game. It's a test game. I mean, it's not a Whitewood, but it's an early production Nipit game. It comes across, you know, and that's just because I happened to look on Craigslist that day and found it. So he's got it in his collection. Thing's just beautiful. I mean, it's immaculate, you know. It's like the cabinet's perfect. It's a true homies-only game. And
how about the alligator? Does it have the plastic?
The alligator, no, that's what's interesting. It did not have the plastic, like, alligator. It still had the metal thing. It doesn't have the plastic alligator on it. So it is more like a full production there, but it, again, there's no serial numbers, and it's got all this stuff written in there. And the cabinet is more, it almost looks like it is original, but it's a different finish. The finish is so nice that it feels like it's been clear-coated. Like, you can almost feel the way the stencil of the sides, you know, put on the game. It's really cool. So the story about that game, which we talked about, was the fact that they're still out there. I mean, this game was found, was it this year or last year, right? So... yeah, I'm glad to see you here, Sam. Sam's over here and they joined us. And Sam's told me all these stories. I got to say, I get all my history from, a lot of it from Sam over the years. So what do you have to tell us here, Sam?
Why do you suppose that Rockstar is the analog of Pluto? And I've probably seen about 4 Rockstars and I've never seen a Pluto. And they made considerably more Pluto's than Rockstar.
You know, that is a good question.
No other comparison to the two. I've never seen where there's more of one, and I've never seen a Pluto.
Yeah, that's true. I've had a Rockstar. I have one Rockstar over the years. One of my good friends, Chris, he's got a Rockstar right now. They do show up, and I believe why you see Rockstar is because being Wisconsin, it's like the Attaball state, and I believe most of the Attaball games went to either, what, Wisconsin or New York, or so, I guess. But I think a lot of the – I know I found my – Rockstar in Wisconsin, and I've known a lot of them to be in Wisconsin. So I would think close to the manufacturer here. And all the other ones, were those the ones shipped over? That was not an export to Italy game, Blue Note? Was that just the replay version, right?
Yeah, and I think they made 265. I might be off of that. I think it's 265 Rockstar.
Right.
And I'm not sure how many Blue Notes, but like maybe in the 70s.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, you know, and that reminded me too.
I've never seen one. I have one. Dennis O'Dell.
I don't think I've seen that either. Were you telling me the story? Sam told me the story about Big Valley. They made what, 3,000 Big Valleys? You never see that game. I mean, you know, Gottlieb Big Valley. They made what, 3,000 of them. You don't hardly ever see it. I've seen a couple I know of, but they've not really been in good shape. But you sure don't see them. And then some of these other rare games, they make. Seem like you see them all the time, and they make 200 or 300 of them. It's really odd, you know. But that is a good question. Sam told me one other thing real quick that I like this story because Sam has these notebooks. He keeps track of all these games and numbers. And back, this is a long time ago, when I had my Eldorado City Gold, I had two versions of the game. I had the Milestar version, which Gottlieb was going through Milestar at the time. Then I had the other version, which was Premier. So when I saw the Milestar version, I talked to Sam and I said, what's the difference in the, you know, like he was telling me, well, they were going through the transition, you know, from Milestar to Premier technology. And they made two games under that. There was Touchdown was the other game that they made. And I have a close estimate on what it was with Touchdown. But anyway, with Eldorado City Gold, they made 170 of the Milestar versions and they made 735 of the Premier version. So if you look up anywhere on the database or production numbers of Gottlieb Eldorado City of Gold, it just says 905 produced. So 905. But they're actually two different games because the playfield stamped 1984 Milestar Electronics. The back glass is stamped 1984 Milestar on the one I have. And the one I have is number 15. It's a sample number 15 off the line of those 170 made. But the other one is, you know, it's Premier technology stamped on the back. And I mean, a lot of people could care less about that. It's kind of like, why, who cares about that? But it's cool, you know? I mean, and Touchdown was pretty much right in the middle. I think they may, again, you told me the numbers. I have them wrote down somewhere. But it's like 450 to 400 or 500. It's about half and half, Milestar and Premier. So I buy a lot of NOS glass from Steve Engel over there at Mayfair Amusements over the years, and I've asked him, can you look at every time you see an Eldorado City of Gold glass, let me know what it says on it? And he says it says Premier 1985. So I've got a game that's complete that says 1984 Milestar. So it's two completely separate printed glass, printed playfield. I believe they may even move the factory, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from Milestar to Premier. I don't know. But that's kind of cool that they made two different completely game, but a lot of people never talk about that. They just classified as one machine, but that's kind of neat. But and what was the other or do you have another question about that?
Have you ever seen a solid state Freedom? They made very few solid state Freedoms.
I saw that in the
year. I don't recall that name.
I had a Freedom.
Maybe just one.
Yeah, the Freedom that's on here is solid state that I have on this slideshow eventually, you'll see. And the one I had still had the rare back glass where it said 1776 and 1976 in green, where a lot of them never have that printed. And that was, no, I tell you what, that's right. Mine was an EM. It's an EM Freedom I had. I didn't have the solid state, but it had that on the glass. And that was made, must have been early in the production because they got rid of that bottom with the bumper and the between the flippers idea and all that. And those all had the glass with 1776, 1976. So, do you have a...
I was just going to ask if that bumper between the flippers was the EM or if that was...
They made, again, how, I don't know how many they made, but they made a number of those EMs that they didn't go over, I guess, very well, and they kind of dropped that idea. They call that the Magic City bottom. Is that like the idea where Williams used that on Magic City? But, yeah, they didn't make very many like that. It was kind of unique. Okay, thanks. And I guess just one more question we'll get done, or what are you?
Yeah, I have a solid state Freedom. I'm pretty sure almost all of those went for parts for the more successful games that came immediately after.
Yeah.
It's obvious. The other games are more
okay. Okay. And one more quick question. Did you have one more thing?
You mentioned Asteroid N. What other game out of Minecraft, maybe single player solid state game? Knockout,
yeah, that's good that you brought that up. Yeah, I know about Knockout. Knockout's the solid-state version of TKO, right? And I've been trying to find. I had some pictures back in the day when they, in the early, well, mid-90s when the internet was kind of fairly new, and I was going on there searching for Knockout, and I found some pictures of some games, some Knockout games, and now I can't find anything on it. You can find some people that printed that on like a mug, or there's a company that's selling them on T-shirts with the Knockout glass, but I can't find. There was actually game pictures I saw of Knockout.
I had the back glass, and one marketing novelty was a photo from mine.
Oh, really? So you had original back glass from Knockout?
To a guy in Paris.
Wow, that's cool. See, I love that stuff.
There is a guy in England who has been to Expo a couple of times, Gary Flower, Martin, and Martin's repair tech has fixed a Knockout in the London area somewhere. There is one.
So there's actually a complete game that was out there. See, and a lot of people you talk to that are even historians, they don't even know that game existed. I mean, I was even asking, I'm calling up Steve at Mayfair, hey, do you have a, I'm looking for some rare glasses to add. Do you have a Knockout solid? Well, what's that? You know, he thought it was the old Knockout. I'm like, no, the single player digital Knockout from 79-80. He's like, he didn't even know they made it. I sent him a picture of it. He's like, first time I've seen that before. So you would think somebody like Steve Engel would have seen that glass if he had any, but yeah, I loved how Gottlieb would make some of that rare stuff, and a lot of it's, you know, and I've got a lot of back glass. I've got a Solaride EM back glass that I found, perfect, like an NOS glass, that extra Asteroid Annie, a lot of really cool back glasses over the year that I keep, and sometimes I frame them and stuff, and I just love how they change the art and everything sometimes completely on a game they'd make, what, 10 of or less, you know, it's, or some of them like that, you never even hear of that game, you never even know it exists. It's really, really cool, but yeah, it's. I love talking about this. I'm really, like I say, again, appreciative of Rob for asking me to come up here and talk about some of these stories. Because if you guys see me around here, I'm always playing in the Classics tournament out there, in the main tournament. I come to these shows. I try to chip everything in, and I love playing in the tournaments. I've done really well in here over the years as a competitive player, but I'm also a collector. And like I said, I've got some great stories to tell, and love that stuff about that. And,
do you know anything about the 2017 in-game tournament calendar?
Well, yeah, some of the pictures you've seen here, a lot of the games I've had over the years, I've been talking with Jim about working on some pictures to use with some of the calendar, and I've got some, like I say, really cool pictures over the years, and going to try to help work with that and have a lot of fun. I like having pictures of close-ups. You've seen a few of the pictures on here. Like, that's obviously a Target Alpha, but some pictures are close-up of a game, and you really can't tell immediately what that is. You know, like, you know, some people, like a lot of us that know the games really well do, but they still catch some people off guard. You know, what is that game? What is that close-up of that spinner? What is a close-up of that? So I think that stuff's really cool. So, yeah, I'm going to try to help out with donating some pictures for the be glad to do that too and everything. So I guess my time here is about up, but I really appreciate you guys, and we'll move on, and thanks again.